comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It is the show where you matter. Tonight is K-Files night, and that means that immediately following the show, I'll begin sending out the K-Files, our weekly newsletter, and the K-Files is free. Really free. There are no strings attached. There's no tricks. It's truly free. And so I encourage you, if you are not subscribed, be sure you do. Just go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Click where it says K-Files, and in a matter of seconds, you'll be subscribed. Absolutely free. By the way, if you subscribe right now, during the show tonight, you will be included in the upcoming edition that's going out starting tonight. And there's no reason not to be in the light when it's free. But, you know, now the way it works, you get a confirmation email. So you subscribe, and then you get a confirmation email with a link you have to click, and that activates your subscription. We hear a lot about crustal displacement these days. We hear about polar shifts and that the crust will slip. The crust of the Earth will slip around the Earth if there is a polar shift. And there are people that think it's really imminent that it's going to happen and that it's going to happen soon. There are people that think that's not likely at all. But I found an interesting article on the internet about some pretty decisive crustal displacement that has taken place fairly recently. Back on Easter, there was a big earthquake right down on the border between Mexico and the United States, and it was centered at Calexico. Calexico, according to NASA, has moved as a result of that earthquake. Calexico is 2.5 feet further south than it was. Now, the reason I find that interesting is because that earthquake, while it was a big and powerful earthquake, it was localized. So they had this earthquake in Calexico, and you folks in Moscow didn't feel it. You folks in Norway didn't feel it. People in England didn't feel it. And in fact, people in Phoenix didn't feel it. And we're not that far north of Calexico, a few hundred miles. So the point is this. That localized earthquake, although big for a local earthquake, moved Calexico 2.5 feet further south. But it was just, in the grand scheme of things, a little event. So it made it pretty easy to see. If you had one that was global, it would really move some stuff around. My guest tonight, Edgar Evans Casey, the son of Edgar Casey. And we'll be back with him right after this. My guest this evening is Edgar Evans Casey. Edgar Evans Casey, as you recognize from the name, is part of a very, very famous lineage. His father was Edgar Casey, the person that everyone refers to as the Sleeping Prophet. He is retired now. Edgar Evans Casey has had a career as an electrical engineer, and he spends his time, according to what I read on the website, involved with enjoying life and enjoying his grandchildren and playing golf these days. But, you know, he spent a lifetime assisting in carrying on the work of Edgar Casey, and we're delighted to have him with us this evening. Mr. Casey, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, Kevin. Nice to be on.
You know, I was a little bit surprised whenever I called and spoke with the lady at the Association for Research and Enlightenment about the possibility of having you on the show. And she told me that that she thought you would be interested in doing this. However, she said, I'll have to call him and talk with him because he doesn't use email. I want to congratulate you for that, and I'm quite serious about it. I made a decision to not use cell phones because I just don't want to be plugged in that much. You know, when I get off work, I want to be off work.
Yeah.
Let me back up on and ask a question about the ARE, the Association for Research and Enlightenment. When was this organization born? When did it come into being?
It came into being back in the 30s and 40s when Edgar Casey moved to Virginia Beach and built the hospital.
Are you still with us, sir? Well, I don't know if they're having a storm in his area or what, but we will attempt to get him back on the line. And I don't know what happened, but I don't think it's anything really mysterious. All right, let's just enjoy a little bit of music, and then we'll be back in just a moment. Right. Apparently, I don't know if they're having a storm or exactly what's going on in his part of the country, but you heard there was kind of a strange buzz, kind of a hum and a thump, And then the line went dead, and we all we get now is a busy signal. So we'll try again in a few minutes to see if it rectifies itself and we can get him back online. But in the meantime, I guess what we will do is go open line. Oh, the joys of live radio, huh? This is when you find out if it's just a hobby or if you're really into this. So we'll go open line and temporarily, and we'll see if we can get Mr. Casey back on. But at the moment, there's nothing but busy signal. Let's try once again real quick. Magic. He's back. So forget about open line. I don't know what happened. You know, I said what we heard on this side, Mr. Casey, is that we heard kind of a buzz and then a thump. So are you still with me? Because I just heard another thump. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Open line is back on. All right. Whatever caused it, I don't know. Some kind of telephone equipment problem, but not here. It's working here. We're still hooked up. But the connection with him was lost, and we'll just try to get him back, perhaps in this show, and perhaps not. Perhaps we'll schedule him for another date. All right. So we'll go open line. That means, ladies and gentlemen, that we can talk about whatever it is you wish to talk about, and as long as it's within our genre. All right. So we don't do politics. We don't do Aunt Betty's favorite recipe for angel food cake. You know, it's got to be in the genre of the strange and unexplained, the paranormal, or futuristic science, something that's kind of Star Trek-ish science. And I would think that if we talked about antimatter, that would certainly be Star Trek-ish, wouldn't it? You know, they have the antimatter drive, the antimatter engines in Star Trek. One of the things about antimatter is that if you have a particle of antimatter that runs into a particle of matter, there's an explosion and there's an intense amount of energy released between the antimatter and matter explosion. Well, what they have discovered, scientists have discovered antimatter existing inside our Earth. There is a facility called the Antimatter Particles. I'm sorry, that's not what it's called. It is called the Gran Sasso National Laboratory of the Italian Institute of Nuclear Physics. And they have this big steel sphere that is part of a neutrino detector located, where would you think? Nearly a mile below the surface of the Gran Sasso National Laboratory of the Italian Institute of Nuclear Physics. So nearly a mile below that is where this this sphere is. And what is it doing? Well, what it's doing is studying exotic particles. And it has detected exotic antimatter particles deep within the Earth's interior. And the instant that I heard that, an explosion went off in my mind. How can antimatter... The Earth is matter. The Earth is matter. When we talk about matter-antimatter, think of two grains of sand, one charged positively, one charged negatively. That's not exactly what it is. but that kind of helps you to picture it in your mind. But with matter, antimatter, think of matter as being charged positively, antimatter charged negatively, and you put them together, they explode. So the Earth is matter. How can antimatter be existing inside the Earth without the Earth exploding? But it is. These particles are thought to result from radioactive decay within the Earth. So it could be that this antimatter-matter exchange is what is creating the internal heat of the Earth. What is it? Have you ever wondered what it is that's keeping the Earth's core molten? If it is. That's the theory. The theory is that it is molten iron. It's a vast, huge sea of molten iron right at the core of the Earth. That's what they tell us. What keeps it molten? What is it that's making it hot? Well, this may be one of the things that's doing it. This matter-antimatter exchange. And these particles are called geoneutrinos and are made up of a strange type of matter called antimatter, which has properties opposite those of regular matter, as I explained. When a regular particle, like an electron, meets an antimatter partner called a positron, the two annihilate each other in an energetic explosion. So is that, are we having little explosions down in deep down into the Earth? And is that what is keeping things hot down there? Is that what is keeping the core of the Earth molten? Is that what is generating the heat that results in volcanoes? Is that the engine of geothermal forces? Wouldn't that be absolutely interesting? Researchers in the Borexino collaboration at the Gran Sasso National Laboratory of the Italian Institute of Nuclear Physics discovered these geoneutrinos inside a nylon sphere detector containing 1,000 tons of hydrocarbon liquid. This sphere is encased within a larger stainless steel sphere, and in it there is an array of ultra-sensitive photodetectors that point towards the inner nylon globe. And both of these layers are enclosed within a third 45-foot, that's 13.7 meters, diameter steel sphere holding 2,400 tons of highly purified water. So this is a pretty big piece of equipment. And this is, in my opinion, a pretty big discovery. Because, you know, you've seen in this latest, what was it called, Angels and Demons, something like that, this latest movie by the guys that did the Da Vinci Code. You've seen the antimatter being suspended in a electromagnetic field. And, you know, that would be how you would think it would have to happen. Otherwise, there would be these big explosions. You know, there apparently is no electromagnetic field suspending these things down in the Earth. And there they are, the antimatter particles existing down there, deep inside the Earth. You would think that there would have to be evidence of constant explosion. Now, if there if matter-antimatter happens the way the scientists think it happens, when they come into contact with each other, they explode. So what is it that keeps the process? They say that these antimatter particles are, they think, a byproduct of radioactive decay. So that's going on all the time, isn't it? This radioactive decay. So there's antimatter being produced all the time and being fed into the stream of the process here. You would think that it could perhaps get out of balance so that there is so much antimatter that it starts making some really serious explosions and it could be very dangerous for the Earth. Perhaps even deadly for the planet. So if this is, if they have discovered the antimatter particles, and if the process happens as they think it happens, then there has to be something, some way, somehow, that's regulating how much antimatter is being produced so that it doesn't overbalance and cause a fatal explosion for the planet. What is the force that's regulating how much antimatter is being produced deep inside the Earth? I think that is a huge mystery, don't you? And, you know, as they study this, it is possible, it is just possible, they may come up with the information necessary to actually build antimatter drives for spaceships. It's just possible they may come up with the ability to do that. Now, wouldn't that be a kick in the head? Wow. Well, the telephone lines are open, and we'll do open line for a little bit. We're going to try and get Mr. Casey back on the telephone again. I don't know what's happened that he keeps getting kicked off. He doesn't get kicked off here. Our phone still shows he's online, but he's not. It kicks him off. Something kicks him off on his end of it. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. I tried during the break, it's one of the reasons the break went a little bit long, I tried to reestablish contact with Mr. Casey, and there's just something preventing that from happening. So we'll stay open line, and we'll try to have him on perhaps next week, but I'll be in touch with him tomorrow, and we'll see what we can do. All right. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. We'll go open line. You can call that number from anywhere on planet Earth, and it should work even on planet X. The toll-free number in the USA and Canada is 888-223-4599. And if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number out there, but I do have something for you called the Flash Message. You can go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, and you'll see a link that says Flash Message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hi, Kevin.
I was wondering, what's the possibility that remote viewing is just a form of astro projection?
Well, you know, I don't know. I have had several rather famous remote viewers on the show. And each one of them, I asked them, is remote viewing in any way related to psychic phenomena, psychic powers or abilities. One of them says, absolutely not. I am no more psychic than a rock. Another one says, I don't know. Another one says, yes. Another one says, no, he doesn't think it is because it's something that anybody can learn to do. So I really don't know what the answer to that is, Kevin. But I'll tell you this. I went through one session, one class on remote viewing, DVD instruction by Ed Dames. I went through the first class. At the end of that class, you have your first remote viewing session, and it's very elementary. However, and what he's got an envelope, and in the envelope there is a photograph. But you don't know that. You don't know what's in the envelope. And all you're given is a number. And that's your guide or your target number. That's all you're given. And I have to tell you, I nailed it. And I had never done remote viewing before. So it is something you can learn. But is it psychic? I don't know.
Like, I don't know if astral projection is a psychic ability, though.
Well, your consciousness, in some form or another, is leaving your body. And so when you're talking about consciousness, you are talking about, at some level, psychic activity. Okay, do you have another question or comment? All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. All right, open line 623-444-5889. Don't leave me hanging in the breeze here, folks. I know there are many things on your mind, on your minds. Some of you have been reading some books in their genre. Maybe you want to talk about something you've been reading. Some of you have been watching some documentaries within our genre, and you would like to talk about that. Maybe you would like to talk about some of the guests we've had on, or just something that you've been seeing, experiencing, or wondering about. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Now, I was talking about the matter-antimatter stuff, which is futuristic science. There was a long time for most of the Earth's history, as far as we know Earth's history, scientists thought that antimatter was just something theoretical. They didn't know it actually existed, and many of them argued that it didn't actually exist, but then they found out it does. However, they found out that it can only exist for like a billionth of a nanosecond because there's this gigantic explosion relative to its size, the instant it comes into contact with matter. The air that you breathe is matter, you see. So now they know it exists, but what's mysterious is now they are finding it exists deep in the earth. How can that be? All right, we're open line. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Stefan in Quebec City, Kevin.
Hello, Stefan.
Hello. Boy, I was really looking forward to tonight's show, Kevin, because I think about 3 days before the estate was torn down, I actually stayed in Evan Casey's house, and I was one of the last people in there, actually, back in 98.
Wow.
Yeah. So
well, you were listening at the beginning of the show, right?
Yep.
Did you hear that little weird bump, and then he was gone?
Yep.
I don't know what that was. We do get interrupted by people that don't want us to talk about something, but that's not what this sounded like. That's not what it acted like. I really thought maybe their phone equipment, maybe they were having a storm in his part of the country, and maybe the telephone equipment got hit by lightning or something. But I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but what I think is that, well, for one, Casey, for me, represents one of the very, very enlightening people to, not that I follow anybody, but I really enjoyed reading his materials over the years. He was one of the people that I first got into, you know, about 20 years ago, and the energy over at the ARE is really nice. It's mostly all older people that work there. And most of them work for very low salaries. They just love being there. The energy is that cool. And, so anyways, I think that what Casey tapped into regarding the future, well, he said there was going to be dark times ahead, but also really good things at the end of it all. So I was really hoping to get Mr. Casey's take on that.
Yes, and I was hoping to talk to him about the continuation. Yeah, that's, you know, I had just started that with the question about when was this foundation, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, when did it come into being? He answered that question, and then boom, he was gone. But that line of questioning that I had planned was for him to talk about how they have, what have they done to continue the work of Edgar Casey. In other words, what is it? Is it just a museum of documents, or are they doing something that actually continues his work? Which, of course, they are continuing his work. But let me ask you this. Now, you said you're very interested in Edgar Casey.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read much of his work, or read many books about his work?
Well, I've read There Is a River by Thomas Sugrue, and I've also read the other works by... Gosh, I can't even remember the author. But it was specific works on specific subjects. There was healing. There was also The Life of Jesus. I read those two. So I've read about four in total.
The stuff about healing,
yep,
was indisputable. And
oh, yeah,
there are testimonies of medical doctors scratching their heads and saying, wow, we don't know. But if I'm not mistaken, and correct me on this if I'm wrong, it was Edgar Casey who, through one of his trances, dictated how to reset this very shattered bone using a steel pin. And that was the first time in history that a steel pin, as far as they know, had been used to reset a bone.
Very interesting. The other really interesting, too, that I found with regards to Casey's material is that whenever a reading was given, the voice or the transcript always came about in plural form, never in singular. It was always we.
Mm-hmm.
We have the body, we have the, you know, so I found that really interesting. I think there's a strong connection between that and, I don't know, I'm going to say... ultra dimensionals or ETs that live in other dimensions or something. It's a far stretch, but I mean, it would seem plausible.
Well, I was just about to ask you, what do you think he was tapped into? But you've just answered that. I don't know what he was tapped into, but you know, his what the doctors wrote about his explanation of various physical maladies and his diagnosis and so forth, he used proper medical terminology and had no knowledge of proper medical terminology. And they were amazed.
Yeah, I think that's what sets him apart from a lot of, I'm not going to say that the other people are fake today, but I just mean the veracity and the intensity that the Casey readings were given under. And this is, you know, the guy was a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
And a fisherman, and a family man, and a God-fearing man, and a devout Bible reader, and he was a simple guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up with all this amazing stuff. So I just, my respect for him and the whole family has never gone down. I've always held him in high esteem.
Out of all the stuff you've read and what you know about Casey, what is it that impresses you the most?
His humility.
Hmm.
I think with the attention that he got it would be very easy for a lot of people to put themselves in the spotlight and start working from that. But Casey never lost his focus. He always stated that it didn't come from him, that it came from another source. And he never lost his humility throughout the whole process. Well, actually, there was a couple of times when he was asked to help get some numbers for horse races or dog races or something to that effect. But he always found that he felt really sick or ill after that, and things usually worked out bad.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
So there was some sort of a fail-safe switch. But anyways, Kevin, I'll go offline, and I'd just like to tell you also that I'm going on a UFO watch tomorrow night with six of my friends. We're going to spend the whole night out in the field.
And where will this happen?
Oh, I'm not saying. I'm just saying it's in southern Quebec. I don't want any black ops people there.
Okay. Thanks for the call. All right, 623-444-5889. And we're open line. And although those of you who are watching on our television channel are seeing Mr. Edgar Evans Casey's picture up in the upper left-hand corner of your screen, he is not with us. If you've joined us late, he was with us, and there was a strange noise on the phone, and then he was gone. We had difficulty reestablishing contact, but we did. Brought him back online, and boom, he was gone again. And until now, all we get is a busy signal. So there must be some kind of telephone equipment problem somewhere in his area. We'll step away for break. We'll be back in just a moment. Open line just for you. We are back, and let's go to the telephone line. We're open line tonight. Didn't plan it to be that way, but apparently some equipment failures with the telephone companies between here and Mr. Edgar Evans Casey's location. So we're open line, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
It's Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hello, Mike.
How are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you?
I know you're frustrated, just like everybody else.
No, I'm puzzled. It doesn't frustrate me. I mean, I can do open line shows every night and would be okay. I'm puzzled because this isn't nothing that shows up on my equipment here looks like we're being interfered with.
Sure.
So it looks like there's some sort of just equipment failure out there somewhere.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about Casey, but before I do, I want to pass a message along that we're having a lot of trouble in the chat room. We keep getting kicked off. Something in the setup is kicking us off, and we come back on, and it'll ask for our login.
Okay, yeah, let me tell you what. We have this little feature called member support.
Yeah.
Put it in there.
Okay.
All right.
All right. All right, we'll do that because a lot of the guys are getting afraid to use the room because of this.
All right. So, well, but I'm really not sure we need to burn airtime for it.
No, okay. I just wanted to...
Yeah, put it in member support, and then we can deal with it.
Okay. I've followed Casey since I was in my 20s, which, as you know, is a long time ago. And I've read about 20 of the books that were written about him. And I also have his black book, his medical book, in our library. And Edgar Casey was quite a person. He was from Kentucky also. And the problem with him was that any time he tried to do anything for himself, it never worked. There were some oil people wanted him to help drill, find oil, but it was for the wrong reason, so it wouldn't work. But as long as he used it to help people, you know, with illnesses or had problems with things that could be traced back to past lives. Everything worked fine with him.
Why do you think that was?
I think it was because he was sent here this particular time, or came here for a specific purpose, and which was to warn us, warn the generations from his time forward of the impending changes on the earth, and tell us to get our house in order. But unfortunately, it seems too many of us have not.
Are you familiar with the things that he said about Atlantis?
Yes.
Now, it's been so long since I've read what he said about Atlantis that what I'm remembering may be a faulty memory, but I'm remembering, at least I think I remember, he said that there was coming a time when it would be found, and it would be in the area that today we call the Caribbean. But here's what I think I remember. I think he said it would rise again out of the sea. Is that correct? Did he say that?
He did say that, and somewhere in the, I think it was the late 70s, early 80s, they found a pyramid under the water there in the Caribbean. It rose up to within, say, in the deep part out there, it rose up to within 1,000 feet of the surface. And he did say that, and said that this is where Atlantis would be found, was right out here in off of the, you know, our coast and off of Cuba and all out in there, not up in off of the Mediterranean.
All right. Now let's do a little speculating here, all right?
Okay.
Some of the people that are writing, and I'm talking about people that are geologists, that are writing about this Gulf Gusher, are saying that there are fractures all over the floor of the Gulf, and that it's pushing upward, and the oil is leaking out in several different places. Do you think maybe there's even a slim possibility that what's going on maybe is going to cause Atlantis to rise out of the water there? Or maybe it is rising and it is causing the problems with those oil wells?
Of course, you and I are speculating, but it would seem that when something comes up, that if there's sediment and layers been built up over a period of time on top of it, that's going to have to be displaced. And that area there around Cuba and all these areas would be probably right in the place that part of it would be coming up. So this could be. I don't know.
It would be absolutely astounding if, I mean, you know, I wouldn't look forward to it, but I mean, it's this big methane bubble explosion and all that. And but if in the aftermath of all of that, you looked offshore and there's Atlantis sitting out there, it would be absolutely astounding.
Oh, wouldn't it? It's still going to cause a lot of displacement of land and water.
Mm-hmm.
So while it would be astounding, it would be exciting, it would also be deadly.
It would be. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the way that this is being handled in the Gulf, there's something going on that they're not wanting to tell people. We know that. And if that's what it is, somebody's going to be in for a big surprise, and it may be sooner than later.
Yeah. A lot of people are going to be in for a big surprise if that's what it is. It's going to it'll rock, man. It'll just rock. And it'll rock everything. Mike, thanks for the call.
All right, Kevin. You have a nice night.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are open line, not by choice tonight, but glad to be open line always. I love hearing from you. And the telephone number is 623-444-5889. or toll-free 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number that works out there. Couldn't find one. But what I do have is something called a flash message, and you can go to my website, scroll down, and you'll see a link that says flash message. Well, I was hopeful that I could get into that topic about Atlantis with Mr. Casey tonight, because he's written a book, a couple of books, about Edgar Casey and Atlantis. And so I was hoping that we could get into that tonight, and hopefully we'll be able to get into that if we can get him rescheduled. And we'll attempt tomorrow to reschedule him for next week. but imagine if Atlantis is where Edgar Casey said it is, and if it is rising as he said it would it not make sense that it could be related to this oil gusher? Now, look, that's just speculation. I'm not saying that it is related. I'm just kind of taking all these different theories that we've heard about and sort of putting them side by side and asking the question, is it possible that that's what's going on? Now, one of the things about that area right off of Cuba that Mike mentioned is that they did some sonar scans, they found buildings, they found a pyramid, and they've never been able to go back. Never been able to go back and do thorough exploration of it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi. Yeah, you know, up there in the Bermuda Triangle area or whatever, off Cuba, that's where they found that ancient clock thing that's really amazing people, that does that astronomical forecasting and all kinds of stuff.
You want to hang on through the break, Terry?
Sure.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Don't forget that this is K-Files night, and you still have time to subscribe to the K-Files if you haven't done so already. Back to Terry from Ohio, who's waiting patiently on the telephone. Terry, you were talking about the Antikythera mechanism that was found. And what were you saying about it?
Well, I'm just saying that they found that, I think it's off the coast of Cuba, and I don't know if it's Cuba, won't give them a license to dive on them ruins and stuff down there, or if they're just using that as an excuse to covertly research more that's down there. But do you hear about that?
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with the Antikythera mechanism. Jacques Cousteau is the last person, I think, to dive on that wreck in 1978 and did not find any remains of the Antikythera mechanism there. And so there's a little bit of, there has been, and it may be settled now, I'm really not up on this, but a little bit of dispute about whether the Antikythera mechanism really is from this shipwreck, the Antikythera.
Uh-huh.
It was named after the shipwreck. But there's been some debate about whether it really was on that ship or if it was from somewhere else. But, you know, this Atlantis thing is fascinating. And I don't know, have you ever seen photographs of those sonar scans they did of the ruins that are down there off the coast of Cuba?
I think I've seen them. I've definitely seen that stone wall and stuff. That's off of, you know, Florida, I guess, ain't it? Or,
no, it's off of, it's right off of Cuba. And it's in deep water. It's right off of Cuba. And you look at the sonar scans, and you can see the layout of streets and buildings, and you can see what looks like a gigantic pyramid.
Yeah, that's very interesting. We're finding more and more things on the ocean, you know, throughout the world, it seems like.
I'm not sure it's going to be. I'm not sure anybody's going to be able to dive and really investigate this stuff if it's all coated in oil.
Well, I just it seems like the Earth's kind of fighting back here lately. I think you mentioned it, and I mentioned it on your show about that Russians. They were drilling for gas.
Mm-hmm.
And they got this big gas fire, and they used everything but the kitchen sink on it, and they can't put it out, so now they just call it the Hell's Pit, from what I understand. And then I seen another part of the world, I don't know if it's where is that exactly, I can't remember, but they were drilling for gas at another location, and somehow they ended up with a mud volcano, which is covering thousands of acres of land somewhere. I don't know if it's Peru or Chile or what is it, I think, maybe. I'm not quite sure. You hear about that?
Just from you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's supposedly happened. Mm-hmm. So it seems like it's, we're not the only ones getting slapped with this oil and gas problems. It seems to be a worldwide problem.
Yeah.
Maybe it's trying to tell us something there.
Terry, I want to thank you for the call, buddy.
Sure.
All right. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. And open line is kind of free-for-all. We'll talk about whatever. It's BYOT. And remember those parties you used to have in high school where they said it's BYOB, bring your own bottle? Well, this is BYOT, bring your own topic. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll talk about it, if it's in our genre, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi. As soon as you started talking about Atlantis rising,
mm-hmm.
like that really twigged something.
For you, it did?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, for one thing, I was just cruising videos on the net, and there were videos of where oil was spontaneously coming out of the sea bottom. I've seen those videos.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of adds evidence to what you're suggesting.
Well, I want to be real clear. I'm really not suggesting it. I'm just speculating and saying, what if, because...
But what if you're getting evidence to support it?
Well, I mean,
all right.
If we speculate about enough things, we'll hit some of them right.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. But then, you also brought in Edgar Cayce, so there's prophecy about it.
There is, and I'm wondering, and I see it's been so long since I've read all this stuff about Cayce, I just can't remember all the details. Did he say anything, or do you know, did he say anything about a massive oil spill? And if he did, what was the timeline on that with Atlantis?
I don't recall anything like that.
I don't either. Now, the Hopi prophecy, yes. But the oil spill in Cayce, I don't recall. But if, I don't know. I mean, it would seem to me if there is, if the forces that took Atlantis down, provided that that Casey's right and that Atlantis is basically out there off of the coast of Cuba, if that's where it is, the forces that took it down, if they are reversing and pushing it up, then we would, I think, see a rising of the seafloor and a cracking of the seafloor, rising in some place and collapsing in other places out around the edge of that. I'm just speculating, but I'm thinking that's what you would see.
Yeah. Wasn't there, like, Lemuria as well?
Yeah, Lemuria is... there are a couple of different places where they think it might have been, and a lot of people now say, that's... Even people that really were into Lemuria, a lot of them are saying it's not real. So, and I don't know. But one place is off of the coast of India. And another place would be north of Australia, and kind of really north and eastward of off of Australia, comprising most of what is Malaysia, and taking in what is today Japan as well. So a couple of different locations for it.
Okay. The reason I ask that question is one thing I do recall from Casey is that he talked about two opposing groups within Atlantis,
mm-hmm.
and it was, you know, it was kind of the self-serving versus the, worshippers of the one god.
Mm-hmm.
It was that kind of split that he talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you were thinking perhaps they lived in two separate communities, I would say probably not, because the real action is when they live closely together.
Kind of like matter and antimatter.
Something like that, yeah.
Kind of like Republicans and Democrats. Explosive things happen when you get them together.
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure that quite has the edge, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Looking for.
But, you know, if Atlantis is where Casey said it is, and if it's going to rise, when it rises, there has to be massive disruption of the crust around where it rises.
Yeah, and whatever's sitting there, whether it's oil or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's a very evocative and powerful image. That's what I will say about that. And it certainly, to me, feels like it has energy to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like. And
see, I think weird things, don't I?
You know, not exactly. Because you do take a line of logic that's very disciplined. So if you get to the weird through that kind of discipline, I'd say, wow, that's something.
Well, all I can say is that if all of those prophecies, both Edgar Casey and the Hopi and various other prophecies regarding the oil spill and regarding Atlantis, if they are connected in some way, we may be witnessing not something that was a BP mistake, although I think we can say there was a lot of negligence involved. But yeah. it may be that it was exactly going to happen anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, that's where I thought you were headed, and yeah. that makes, you know, that's got, I don't know, that's got schna to it.
Schna, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Schna. All right, John, thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right. That's got schna to it. All right. I don't know what schna is, but it sounds It sounds worthy, doesn't it? 623-444-5889 is the number to call. We are open line. Bring your own topic. We will talk about whatever it is you wish to talk about here tonight within our genre. And perhaps, you know, look, I think that whatever is, is. And you've heard my thoughts about that. In other words, doesn't matter whether you believe or disbelieve anything in terms of whether it is real or not real. It's not going to be real if you believe in it unless it is real anyway. And it won't be unreal if you say, I don't believe in it. If it is real, your non-belief doesn't make it unreal. It is what it is. So, but I, along with that, I think whatever happens, for the most part, was meant to happen. And so perhaps our telephone weirdness between here and Mr. Casey's end of the connection was meant to be. I don't know, because we're having some very interesting discussion about it all. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Perry from San Luis Obispo, California.
Hello, Perry.
I just wanted to say something tonight about prophecy in a general way.
Okay.
You know, in the Old Testament of the Bible, there's all those prophets, and what was said about their predictions was that it was the prophet's job to warn the people of, like, impending doom. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they were predicting that it was definitely going to happen. So I tend to look at even modern-day prophets in the same sort of light. But having said that, I think that there is a distinction between being a prophet and being somebody who is able to step through time and actually visualize reality the way that it will happen. And there's a few people that probably have that kind of a talent, and yet we may refer to them as a prophet. And I think that in light of the guests didn't show up tonight, that that this would be something to think about, and that is, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that Edgar Casey's prophecy is definitely going to come to pass, and it doesn't mean that he was wrong either. It just could mean that somebody, somewhere along the line, there may have been a butterfly effect. That's all I wanted to say.
All right. Let me just say this. Actually, he did show. And we had him online, and then there was a buzz and a pop, and his phone went dead. We haven't been able to get him back. So
yes, I know. Yeah.
So he actually was he showed up, and there was some kind of technical something out there between his location and ours. Perry, thanks for the call. Interesting thoughts. All right, 623-444-5889 is our main number here in the studio. Toll-free throughout the United States and Canada from coast to coast to coast to coast, north, south, east, and west. It is 888-223-4599 for the toll-free number, and it is BYOT, bring your own topic. What do you think about the speculation? And I'm not speculating that Atlantis is where Mr. Casey says it was, is. I'm not speculating that it is rising or that it's connected to the oil problems, the gusher down in the Gulf. I'm not speculating any of that. What I'm speculating is just only so far as to say, what if? I mean, it would make a great movie plot, I can tell you that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, hi, Kevin. It's Heidi from Manitoba calling.
Hello, Heidi.
Hi. Kevin, I was just thinking more about this Gulf oil disaster.
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, there's been lots of talk about whether or not it was a planned event.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there's some evidence out there that seems to suggest that perhaps there was some foreknowledge about this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in any event, I had rented the movie again, knowing just to have another look at it, because people had said that, you know, there was a part there that had, quote, predicted that this was supposed to, or this was going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, I found something kind of interesting that I thought I would share with you and your listeners.
Okay.
Anyone who's seen the movie remembers that the story revolves around a man who becomes obsessed with decoding the hidden meaning of the numbers that were written on a piece of paper found in a time capsule. Now, in the movie, each future disaster is predicted by a sequence of numbers that first gives the date, secondly the number of people dead, and thirdly the GPS location of the disaster given as the latitude and longitude. And keeping in mind, of course, that it is a movie, but as the movie continues, there are three disasters left to happen. Two of the disasters occur in the movie, but the final disaster is pending. That is, it's still to come, and in the movie you don't actually see what that final disaster is. But with regard to sort of this last prediction that's given, I found a really interesting part in there where the main guy, he suddenly realizes that the last two numerals on the sheet of paper is not the number 33, but it is in fact the letters EE written backward, and that the EE is code for meaning everyone else. Well, at this point in the movie, the camera zooms in on the sheet of paper that this guy, played by Nicolas Cage, is holding and looking at, so the audience can see what he's seeing. And it shows a sequence of numerals followed by what looks like two EEs written backward. Well, anyways, at this point, I paused the movie and I wrote down the numerals from left to right. And what I discovered is that if you continue to read the sequence backward, you get the message, everyone else, September 19th of 2010, and it gives latitude and longitude.
Hmm.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And so anyways, if the longitude, or if the latitude that is given first and then longitude, it shows a location in the Arabian Sea, and if the longitude is given before the latitude, then you have the Norwegian Sea. And when I had thought of that, I thought, well, both locations are interesting because one with the Arabian Sea, what's close by is the Gulf of Aden, and with the Norwegian Sea, you have the Norway Spiral. And on the other hand, it could also mean that perhaps the location is not given at all, but it's just that the warning ends at EE. If EE means everyone else, then of course there would be no coordinates given, because that would be the location for the disaster would be worldwide. So of course there would be no coordinates. But I just thought this was kind of interesting.
Sounds like you've sort of dug into this and done quite a bit of research on this. Now, what is it that made you decide to read the whole thing backwards and then research the locations?
You know, it was just an idea that hit me as I was watching it, because I had rented the movie. I was watching it on closed captions so I wouldn't miss anything. And when I saw this, it showed on the piece of paper the numbers written starting out with 40717400. Then there's the number 10, 19, 09, N-E-E. And so that's when you take it and you flip the E-E backwards, because in the movie, E-E, like you think it's 33, it looks like the number 33. What he does is he reverses it backwards. So you put EE, well, EE backwards is still EE, but you get EE90910100471704. But then you continue to reverse it, following the same line of logic. Then you have EE, the 90 becomes 09 September, the 91 becomes 19. The 01 becomes 10, and then you have 00747140.
Wow.
It is interesting, isn't it?
It is. You ought to write this up for an article, and I'll publish it for you in the K-Files.
Oh, okay, I can do that for you. That's not a problem.
All right. Yeah, write that up and send it to me.
Sure, can do.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay, you bet. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Wow, now that will make your socks roll up and down. You see, when I tell you that this show is about you and you matter, when we do open line, you see it, don't you? You see it. Wow. It amazes me. It astounds me every time we go open line at the amazing things that we hear and learn from each other. I absolutely love open line. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, turned open line live tonight. It was not planned. It was not planned. Our guest was with us, and there was some kind of weird problem with the telephone. Not here. We were still connected, but he got disconnected. But our line was still open. We didn't get a dial tone when he got disconnected. It didn't sound like it usually sounds when someone is purposely interfering with us. It sounded like equipment problems somewhere. I could be wrong about that, but it sounded that way to me. Anyway, we're open line tonight, and that means wherever you happen to be, anywhere in the United States, anywhere in Canada, anywhere in the UK, anywhere in Europe, Asia, Africa, or South America, or Central America, or Australia, anywhere on this planet, anywhere, you can give us a call with whatever is on your mind within our genre. 623-444-5889 is the number worldwide. Now, if you are in the USA or you're in Canada, I do have a toll-free number for you. If you need to call me toll-free, you may do so. It is 888-223-4599. If you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for you. The main number will work for you, but if you don't want to make that international long-distance call, what you can do is go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and just scroll down, and you'll see a link that says flash message, all right? And if you send me a flash message, then we'll read your question or your comment, and we'll talk about it. And we have one from Kevin in Ireland. He says, hey, Kevin, I was just wondering, has there been any more news about Lakhazar Filipov, who claimed that aliens have made contact with them through crop circles? And I would like to hear your views on this topic. Great show, as always. Thanks. No more news. After the heavy boot came down on Dr. Filipov, there has been no more news about that. Let me say that the crop circle thing is only a part of what he said about how they were communicating. He said, according to the news report, the first news report and the only news report to have this statement in it, that there had been a press statement, a media statement, at which there were several species of these extraterrestrials present, and that they had answered more than 30 questions put to them by the Bulgarian Academy of Science personnel. Now, that statement was in the first article that came out. It did not show up in any subsequent articles ever again. It never was in any subsequent articles. Now, you might say, well, okay, but that's maybe they found out that was... maybe they found out that was a misstatement, that they misquoted him or something. Well, newspapers have a little device they use whenever they have misquoted someone and they realize it. It's called a correction. They never ran a correction. They have another device. If they print something that is just off the wall and the guy didn't really say that, it's called a retraction. They never ran a retraction. They just went quiet on that statement. It just disappeared from all subsequent articles. And that's what drew my attention to the Filipov story, more than anything else. Plus the fact that he went silent. We were not able to get back in touch with him. You know, we had... the Kevin Smith Show through Jerry Wills had a telephone conversation with Dr. Filipov, and then he went silent. We couldn't get him back on the telephone. Couldn't get him in email. We could get someone answering his email, but we couldn't get him. You could tell from reading the email it wasn't him. And so, but since then, since the heavy boot came down on Dr. Filipov over his revelation to the world, no, there's been no further news. And the silence screams. You would think that these spin guys, these people that try to make all the events like that, they try to get it out of the news. They don't want people to know about it. You would think they would understand that when it goes silent, the silence screams. And that's exactly where we all look. Kevin in Ireland, let me tell you something. I get emails every week, and some weeks I get emails each day where people are asking similar questions about Dr. Filipov. Now, why is that happening? That's happening because of the silence. The silence is screaming in the minds of people all over the world. But these goons and morons that run the secrecy can't figure out that's not the way you make the story go away. So as uncomfortable as it has been for Dr. Filipov, I have to say thanks to the goons and morons, because they did exactly, again, exactly the wrong thing if they wanted the story to go away. All they did threw petrol on the fire. And no one, absolutely no one, has allowed this to leave their minds. Everybody that knows anything at all about that story, the silence that now exists is screaming in their minds. 623-444-5889. It's Bring Your Own Topic Night. And man, have we had some great topics from our listeners here tonight. This has been absolutely fabulous. I mean, we've really had some great stuff come across these phone lines here tonight. We're not through, though, because not everyone in the audience has called us. There are people sitting all over the place, all around the planet, who are thinking, you know, I really would like to know what he thinks about this. Or I've got this thing that I've been thinking about, and I really would like to tell him. And you've been thinking about calling. But now that you actually have the opportunity to do so, fear has gripped your heart. Your knees are shaking. Your teeth are clattering. You're in a cold chill. Sweat is running off of you in buckets because you're facing the telephone. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. So what shall we do as you try to gather your courage? Shall we whistle Dixie? I don't whistle very good. What do you think about the... maybe you're not interested in it. I don't know. I think this very futuristic discovery of antimatter deep, deep in the earth is fabulous. It's not just interesting. It's absolutely mind-blowing because you have to wonder, how does it exist without destroying the planet? It's absolutely surrounded by matter. How does this antimatter exist without destroying the planet? And why does it exist? But the how would tell us a great deal about the mechanisms of our Earth. And you might wonder, well, why would that be important? Well, let me ask you something. If there... Assume that this report is true, and this is a scientific report. I got this from livescience.com. This is written by Clara Moskowitz at livescience.com, who is a senior writer there. So this is not internet fiction. This is real. So assume it's real. It is. Antimatter is existing just covered up with tons of matter. But when antimatter touches matter, when it comes into contact, there is an explosion. Something is regulating the production of this antimatter so that there isn't a runaway production of it. If there was a runaway production of antimatter, there would be an explosion that would turn the Earth into nothing but sand. Sand in space, just blown everywhere. Something's regulating the production of this antimatter. Now, I would think it would be, especially now that we're beginning to enter the age of high technology. Some of you think we've been in high technology for a long time. We haven't. Even the highest of our high technology, when compared to where it could be, is primitive. But we're beginning to enter the age of high technology, genuinely high technology. Wouldn't you think it might be important for us to know and understand that mechanism so that we, through our high technology, don't do something that upsets the rhythm of that whatever's regulating the production of antimatter? If we upset that, the Earth is gone, right out from under us, gone. For instance, and I don't think that HARP would upset, I don't think it's got the power to upset that sort of system. I could be wrong about that, But I don't think it's got the power to upset that sort of system. But if it did, wouldn't it be important for us to know how that, what it is, what is regulating the production of the antimatter? Wouldn't it be important for us to not only know what's regulating it, but how that works, so that if HARP has the possibility, if HARP could disrupt that system, they would know it and know, don't turn HARP up onto this frequency or that frequency or this power level or that power level. Because if you do that, the Earth is gone. I think that's kind of important. And look, HARP is high tech, but HARP, if it's not already obsolete, soon will be, because the true state of technology is way beyond anything we know about, you and me. All right, we'll be back right after this, so don't go away. Right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach. It is, we didn't plan for this to be open line, but it turned into that. And man, has it been interesting and fun. Now, we've got just a few minutes left until the end of the show. If you wish to call, you may do so. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. And we do have another flash message to get to before the end of the show. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Tony from Denver.
Hello, Tony.
Yeah, I would like to ask your guest if Edgar Cayce believed in reincarnation.
We don't have a guest.
Oh, I thought you were on with Edgar Evan Cayce.
See, you've tipped your cards, and we can tell you haven't been listening to the show.
I took my kid to the Toy Story 3. I just got home.
Yeah. His phone line went dead. So we're open line.
I called you last night and got cut off. I was going to make a comment about the alien's eyes.
Okay.
Can I do that now?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened last night. Sorry, Kevin. You were asking for me, but I was already gone. But anyway, I wanted to tell your guest last night that probably the reason why he was so scared of the alien's eyes is that's how they do the alien mind meld, is with the optical nerve.
Hmm. Now, how do you know that? Have you had experience with that? Has that happened to you?
Yeah, and another reason why he's probably so scared about doing regression therapy is it runs in families, and I presume he has a family of his own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why most people don't want to know anymore.
Yeah. Wow. Now, you said this has happened to you, so you have been abducted.
Well, I believe so, yeah, but I don't have any proof.
Mm-hmm. Well, who does, really? Except, people, the proof or the evidence, actually, is what their own testimony of what they've seen, what they heard, what they experienced. And in the case of Travis, other people saw, and then the polygraph test. So, okay, Tony, thanks very much. Very interesting. All right, let's go to the flash message from the United Kingdom. Ross writes about the antimatter in the Earth's core. Now I have a mental image of a Star Trek warp core pounding away at the center of the Earth. Lots of laughs. Yeah, could be. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Mike from Maryland.
Yeah, Mike.
How are you?
Good. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good.
I got something to shoot at you for open lines.
All right.
I was in the Army. I retired in an 01, but this is kind of weird. My brother, half-brother, passed away last year, and ever since then, I've picked up traits that he's always had. Like, I've always been right-handed, and now I'm writing better with my left hand than my right hand, totally legible, doing things that I was never capable of doing before. Mentally, it's like something is just completely opened. Have you ever heard of something like that happening to people?
Yes, and I believe, yeah, and I believe that the terminology that's used for that is transference. And some people call it soul transference. Do you have episodes where you hear him or where you think thoughts that you identify as that? Those are his thoughts. Those aren't mine.
No, it's like I lost contact with my daughter. She's been on this earth for 23 years, and I love her to death, but I lost contact with her 21 and a half years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And about, I don't know, a month ago, I was just thinking about her, and in a dream, my brother came to me and says, "You're ready. She'll be there." And the very next day, out of the blue, she found me.
Now that is odd, isn't it?
Tell me about it. That's what kind of stuff has been going on lately.
You ought to write you're another person that ought to write this up and send it to me so I can publish that in the K files.
Okay, you got it.
All right.
I get your K files all the time, so I love it. Kevin, you got it, buddy. I'm going to email you all this stuff.
Okay. Outstanding.
Thanks. You have a great evening. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Wow. Now that's cool, isn't it? What do you think about that? I wish we had a lot of time left. We don't. Is it possible that someone's consciousness, their soul, or their spirit, whatever you call it, transfers into another person sometimes and sort of takes over that person so they pick up the traits of that person? Is that actually possible? I've heard stories of it happening, and you've just heard one here. Of something similar to that happening, if that's not exactly what it is, it's certainly something similar to that. You know, sometimes people think that if you decide that established religion just doesn't really have it going on, that you throw everything that they talk about away. And that's not the case. That's not the case. If there is a soul, then there is, whether established religion ever talked about it or not. If there is a soul, then there is, you know, and it doesn't matter if you think there is or don't think there is. If there is, there is. And so when you hear stories like this, it's evidence of something, isn't it? Now, what is it evidence of? For the lack of additional evidence, I would say that it sounds to me as if it is evidence of consciousness or soul transference. Maybe not. But it certainly sounds like something like that has taken place. So I look forward to getting that article and publishing that in the K-Files. Are you subscribed yet? You've had 2 hours now. I've been talking to you about it. I've been telling you, you need to subscribe. It's free. Also, take a look at our survival meter, because the facts are the facts, and that top number is not a number that we hope we can raise. That's what we absolutely have to pay the bills. And we got 5 days left. We don't reach that, we don't pay the bills. And if we do reach that, we pay the bills. What if we don't pay the bills? Well, We have to find a new place to broadcast from. That's one thing. Anyway, take a look at that. You got an extra buck or two or 10 or 20, 50 or 100? Kick it our way. Any amount. And that's easy to do. You just, on the website, under the survival meter, you'll see a button that says donate. Just click that and you can donate to us. And that'll help us keep going. And certainly we need to be able to keep going. Well, it's been fun to be with you this evening. It's been different because we normally, if we do get interrupted somehow, and our guest, the line with our guest is interrupted, then normally we can get them back online and we're good to go. That didn't happen tonight. We were not able to reestablish contact, and so it's been different. But remember, whatever is, and if it is, it stands to reason it was meant to be. And I got to tell you, I think this is one of the most interesting open lines we've ever had. But we've come to the end of the show and the end of the week. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.